Good morning.
You know, past couple of weeks I've really been praying in what I should talk about and what I should share. And so my title was Spiritualism is Exploding All Around Us. And I think a lot of times we don't realize it, but we're in a war. It's a spiritual war. And there's good angels all around, there's evil angels all around. And Satan's goal is to destroy every one of us, if he can. He knows the beauty of heaven. He's talked with the Father. He knows Jesus, they were really good friends. And he doesn't want us to be there. He lost heaven, he wants us to lose heaven too. Before I have my message to share with you, I'd like all of us, if we could, to bow before the King of Kings. Father in heaven, as we come before the King of Kings, the great I am, the mighty God, we come into your presence with awe and reverence. And we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that there would be such a revival take place in our lives such as the world has never seen. Bring us to the reality of the times that we're living in, that it's not a game out here anymore. It's a matter of life and death. Help each one of us to choose this day who we will follow, who we will surrender our hearts, our minds, and our souls to. Use me now as I share this message that you've given to me, and may the sweet, sweet Holy Spirit fall upon me and use my tongue, my lips, and my mind to share what you've given to me to share. Bless us now and close us in with a host of holy angels. In your name I pray. Amen.
I got my favorite book with me today. Great Controversy. And it's part of my message, and there's a reason why. Because I think we need to understand the message that's in that book. This book will take us on a journey from the beginning to the end of the ages. It will take us into the most holy of holies. It will show us all the snares that Satan is going to use to trap us and destroy us if he can. It pulls everything together that we need to know, especially in this time and that we're living in. Spiritualism. I looked up the definition in the dictionary just to see what they said. It says it's the belief that the dead can communicate with the living. And you know, it's amazing. I meet so many people when I go door to door, and I ask the question, have you ever talked with somebody that says they have a ghost in their house? Almost everybody I talk with will tell me I do. Or we have a friend or a family member that does, and it's a daughter or a son or a husband or wife that passed away. And they believe it. And what amazes me, if you go back to the very beginning of creation, the first sermon ever preached on spiritualism was in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, that's where it started. And we're told that's going to be one of the most powerful deceptions that's going to take the world captive. Are we prepared for that? Are we so grounded in what the Bible says, and when we stand on it, no matter what anybody says? If you have an experience like that in your home one day, will you know who it is? Can you see behind the scenes? Can you see Satan appearing as a loved one to trap you in a spider web and to wrap you in it until he destroys you and he takes your soul? But anyways, in Genesis 3:2-5, I want to go back there for a reason. Adam and Eve were warned They were told about the war that took place in heaven. They knew what happened there. And they knew that Satan was here on planet Earth to try to cause their fall. And the only place they could be tempted was at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If they would have stayed away from that tree, sin would never come into the world. And what's so interesting, Satan used the serpent. He didn't openly come up where they could see him, because if they would have seen him face to face, they would have ran. They would have got away as fast as they could. But he used the snake. Can you imagine an animal start talking to you? What would you have done? Would you have talked back to the animal? And you know, if you go back and you really, really study this out, for Adam and Eve, all it was a test of love and obedience. That's all. It was a very simple test. He said, if you love me, obey me. And that's what he's asking for us today. He said, if you love me, do what I ask you to do, because I know what's best for you. And if you follow me, I'll lead you through the storm and I'll get you ready for heaven if you follow me. Okay, so as I go through this, I want to take you through real quick and I want to bring up to our time. King Saul was mentioned this morning. King Saul in the beginning was walking with God and doing what he should have been doing. But something began to happen. He was given a command by God to destroy all the wizards, all the psychics, whoever was into the supernatural and the witchcraft. He was supposed to kill them all. But he didn't do that. He allowed one to live. And it was the witch of Endor. And so he disguised himself so she wouldn't recognize him. And they went there at night to find her and to talk with her. And he was forbidden. He knows that he was forbidden to have any communication with witches, psychics, warlocks, palm readers, whatever. The people were warned to stay away from them because they're an abomination. They're a tool that is used by Satan to destroy your life. But he went looking for her. They began to talk. He says, I want to see Samuel. And Samuel died before that time. And so what did the witch of Endor do? She called for Samuel to come up. And Samuel came up in that fire. But was that Samuel? Would Samuel, who was a man of God, be allowed to be brought before a witch that God has commanded they should be destroyed? But Samuel came up, supposedly, and King Saul began to talk with him. And little by little, he was being pulled into the snare until eventually he went insane, he began to lose his mind, and he eventually lost his life. Spiritualism is exploding. It was exploding back in the Garden of Eden, and it's exploding with all its intensity today. And we're told in Inspiration that Satan's power is going to increase 100-fold greater than mankind has ever known. 100-fold greater. Can you imagine that? And if you turn the TVs on today, you got haunted houses, you got ghost stories, you got vampire stories, you got witches, black witches, white witches. Everything is sweeping through the land. And you can go into the stores, you can buy Ouija boards and Dungeons and Dragons. Anything you want is out there. Satan offers the whole thing to the world. If you take it, it won't hurt you. But once you get caught in it, most people never get out of it. And then it leads into the eternal destruction. So that's kind of what happened to Saul. And if you study that out, it takes you even deeper than what I'm sharing with you. Then I want to come up to our time, not our time, Jesus' time in the New Testament. when Jesus had a mighty miracle on the Sea of Galilee and he had the disciples with him, there was a storm and so forth. Then the storm was ended and they came to the shore and they landed and they began to walk. And all of a sudden the two demoniacs, they had chains around their wrists, their hair was long and matted, and they were a fearful sight. The disciples even turned around and ran as fast as they could to get away from them. But Jesus didn't run. Jesus wasn't afraid. And what I love about it, he put his hand up and they stopped and they couldn't come any farther. What amazes me, they knew who Jesus was. They even said he was the Son of God. They said that. What is so beautiful, if we really study our Bibles the way we should, when these encounters take place, we know who's doing that. It's not God. They're demons or evil angels that have fallen. They're impersonating people that have died years ago. And when Jesus asked one of the men, he said, "What is your name?" And the response that came back, it says, my name is Legion, for we are many. And back in biblical times, a legion stood before, I think it was 3,000 to 5,000 soldiers. 3,000 to 5,000 soldiers were controlling those two men. 3,000 to 5,000 evil angels. We have no idea how many evil angels are in this world. No idea at all. And they're just waiting for every opportunity they can to catch you, to ensnare you, to get you in that spider web that you can't get out. Then I want to go on. I want to talk about Ecclesiastes. It says the dead know not anything. Do we believe that? Do we really believe it? If one of your members of your family that passed away and they appear before you in your home, do you believe what the Bible says? Or will you stand there and communicate with them? And a lot of people do. And then they're taken on this journey into the supernatural world. It's very hard when you lose a child or a husband or wife. But we got to stand on the Bible. The Bible says the dead know not anything. And that's where we stand, no matter what the rest of the world says. If God says it, I believe it. And what's really sad, and this troubles me, in the churches today across the land, members of the churches, different denominations, are told that when you die, if you're good, you go to heaven. And they've been taught that all their life, so they believe that. So if I've gone to heaven, why can't I come back and talk with you? You're my family member. You're my friend. But that's being taught, and it's really strong in the churches across the land, that you don't die. You go to heaven when you pass away. So you're still alive. But the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Every man, woman, and child that came into the world was born into sin. Everybody dies. You can't think anymore. You can't love anymore. You can't hate anymore. You can't do anything anymore. When you're dead, you're dead. You're in the grave. And that's where you stay until the judgment day, to the resurrection morning. And you can't change that. No matter how mad or how hard you want or how bad you want it, you can't change it. That's what happens, and that's where you're at. In Psalms 146, verse 4, it says, "In the day that you die, your thoughts perish." How clear that is. Your thoughts perish when you die. So I always ask the people when I meet them out here door to door, either God is lying when God says that you'll die, or Satan is lying when he says you won't die. It's somebody's lying. Who is it? Now I want to come up to our time and the time that we're living in. And this is what really, I got to share some of these. These are some of my stories. I met a lady several years ago in Ohio. I was doing some door-to-door up there. And she just moved into this house probably a couple months before I met her. So I knocked on the door, told her who I was and what I was doing, and she says, come on in. And I went in and we began to talk. And I was sharing the great controversy with her, and then she shared something with me. She said, you know what? She said, about 4 weeks ago, she says, I put my daughters to sleep. She had two stair steps, probably 8, 9, 10 years old. She put them to sleep, and she went in her room and she went to sleep. Then all of a sudden, late in the night, she heard a girl's talking. And she stopped and she listened. She said, what is this late, so late at night talking? So she got up and she went into the bedroom, opened the door, went in the bedroom, turned the light on. And she says, girls, what are you doing up? You're supposed to be in here sleeping. Well, and the girl said, well, this lady's in here talking to us. And she says, what lady? I don't see no lady in here. She said, there's an old lady that comes in here every night and talks to us. And so the mother thought they were just really tired. She said, well, go back to sleep. She said, you're dreaming. So they went back to sleep, and probably about a week later, the same thing happened in the middle of the night. So the mother got up, and she went real quick to the door and opened the door and turned the light on. She wanted to see if that lady was in there. She didn't see anything. She says, girls, what are you doing up? Why are you talking? You should be sound asleep. And the girl said, well, this lady keeps coming in and talking to us, Mom. And the girls were sitting up in bed. So anyway, she tells them to go to sleep, puts them back to sleep. She looks through the closet under the beds to see if anybody's in there. Nobody was there. And then 2 days later, this is amazing how this story is going. 2 days later, at night, the lady appears in the bedroom again. This time, the girls and everybody's talking back and forth. And now they're playing ball together in the bedroom. The lady ghost is throwing her a ball, and the girls are throwing it back. And the mothers tell me all this. And so I took her into the chapter, Can the Dead Speak to Us? And I showed some things to her in the Bible. And I asked her, I said, do you believe in what the Bible says? And very nonchalantly, she says, yes, I do. I said, you do? Then I said, who are your daughters playing with? Who are your daughters playing with? And you know, it's amazing if we can just get people to see this. Whenever somebody has a ghost in their home, whenever they see a ghost in their home, it's usually at night. And who's the prince of darkness? Satan is. And it's exploding everywhere. It's not just one or two families. Most of these movies on TV are based on true stories. These kind of things are really happening out here. They're not a fairy tale. I used to share a lot of my stories with some of the church family through the years as I've traveled. But I got to a point I don't do it anymore, because a lot of times I think it's comical and it's funny. But there's a statement I want to read to you from the Spirit of Prophecy. It says, any joking, jesting, laughing over the supernatural things, you're slowly being pulled onto Satan's grounds and you don't even realize it. So I stopped sharing stories, because these stories have been real. I've experienced them. I've talked with many, many Christians and non-Christians across the country. These things do happen. And they will happen. And we're told that God's people in the end of Earth's history is going to have these encounters in your homes, in your life. What will you do when it happens? What will you do when you see somebody that appears as a ghost figure? A man, a woman, a child. What will you do? I was in a home, another home I went to, and I started talking to this man. And when I was done, he says, you got to go see this family. You got to go see this family. And I says, why? He says, you just got to go see them, please. And so I found the address and I went in to visit with him. And I said, one of your friends asked me to come here. So I says, I stopped by to see him. But he didn't tell me why. They had probably about five families over one night, and they were all sitting there, and they were talking. I think they were in the kitchen. And all of a sudden, they could hear this thump, 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 thump. Somebody was coming up their stairs from the basement. And everybody's just looking now because they have no idea who's in there. And all of a sudden, the door swings wide open. And they seen the Grim Reaper. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that or not. And they all got up and they ran out of the house. And they called for a couple priests, ministers, whoever they could get to come over and pray for that family. People are having these experiences. And you know what's amazing? We know who's doing these things. We have the unadulterated truth, but we're not telling anybody. It's happening all around us, but nobody's telling anybody who's doing it. Why? Why aren't we doing it? And it's going back to this book here that I shared with you. This is the only book that is going to warn the world of the danger so soon to come. She says above silver and gold, above every other book she's ever been inspired to write, it should go out like the leaves of autumn. And I'm going to tell you right now, my brother, some of you met my brother, he's given out almost 60 books every 2 weeks, and it's going up higher. He said he's never seen anything like it before. I'm going out canvassing, and probably the last 2-3 weeks, I can't believe what's happening out here. God is preparing His people out there. He's getting them ready to come in here. But they're not going to come in here yet until we become really grounded and become what we're supposed to be. And like Sister Wilhelmina said, and I love this statement, I know I've shared it before, it says that when the love of Jesus Christ becomes real in here, they're going to come in, but not until then. I heard a radio station a couple of weeks ago, and I've shared this with some of my friends up north, and I'll never forget this. They said that thousands of ministers are leaving the Protestant faith right now, and they're walking away. They're not saying where they're going. They're just walking away. Churches are dying out here. People are disenchanted with them. They're not being fed spiritual, so they're trying to find a place to go. But they're still not coming. I have met so many people out here that should be in this church right now. They should be here. Things we've talked about, the things we share and how open they are, but they're not coming. There's been a few that's come into the New Life Church, but they're not coming in here. But yet they live around here. Why would they come? What do you have that they want? And then I hear a lot of times we're told that we should give out the steps of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, I meet so many people of different faiths are more in love with Jesus Christ than we are. They don't need steps to Christ. They need this book. They need to know the truths of what Satan's ready to do and how he's going to captivate the world. But I want to go on now here. Okay, this takes me back up to New England and New York. When I first went to Hoosick Falls, I was trying to break into the area, and I would ask questions, can the dead speak to us, or what happens when you die? When you die, nobody would open up until eventually I begin to break in and people would open up more. And there's a story that goes around in Hoosick Falls. There's an Indian ghost that runs around at night through the cemeteries. A lot of the older people have seen them. And I'm going to tell you what, I've seen things too in my years of canvassing that would amaze you. It would bring goosebumps on your arms. You would feel that. But that's what's going on in New York. New England is one of the most superstitious parts of the country I've ever worked in. Very, very, very heavy. Okay, in Vermont, I was up there years back, and I talked with two men. they were up camping. There's a place up in Vermont, it's called the Florida Reservoir. And they just wanted to go up there and camp and see what it was like. And they were sound asleep. And up in New England, you always get this fog or this mist early in the morning. They were sound asleep, and all of a sudden they could hear some singing and chanting. And what is it? And they both woke up, and they looked, and around the reservoir, they saw pioneers with children dancing around and singing. Those two men got up and ran out of there. These things are real, you guys. It's happening. Satan is impersonating a lot of people who have died. And when the Civil War, this I got to go back, I want to back up a little bit. When the South and the North were fighting during the Civil War, there were spirits of departed generals that were telling our generals how to fight this battle. And when they listened to them, and they did it the way the departed generals told them to do it so they could win, thousands of men died. They were killed because they listened to those spirits of departed generals. Okay, I'm sure you folks have heard this if you go to the White House, and it's well known. Every once in a while, Abraham Lincoln's ghost has been seen. It's known. It's been documentaries done on it. They see his ghost every so often in the White House, where his bedroom is. And I remember, I think it was Nixon, he said he'd walk his dog every once in a while down the hallway, and when they got to the room, where the room was, his bedroom, it says the hair would go up on his back of the dog, and the dog would walk away. Okay, and then this was on the news today, or yesterday, about hypnotism. You know, inspiration tells us we should never, ever allow someone to take control of your mind. Because that someone that takes control of your mind is not another person. It's Satan. And once he takes control of your mind, then he leads you on a journey where you destroy yourself. And on the news, I think it was yesterday, I think it was two or three people did what the hypnotist told them to do, and they took their life. They committed suicide. You know, we have been given the Bible and the spirit of prophecy that will guide us on this narrow pathway, and it will help us make it home if we read them, if we study them, and if we piece them together, it'll come alive to us, and we'll know what's right and who's right in this day and age that we're living in. Okay, this is just recent. I talked with a man that he's real good friends with Ron Paul, and he goes to the elections, and when the presidents are running, he does a lot of the videos. He's in charge of all that. He got a phone call to go out to Scottsdale, Arizona, I think it was a month ago. And he didn't know why. They just said, you got to come and do a video. He went out there. Mary is being seen now in different places with angels all around her. And when he went out there and he seen this and he had this encounter, he said, in my lifetime, he said, I have never been frightened until I saw what I saw. And we're told that in the last days of Earth's history, there's going to be supernatural sightings that we have never seen before. And it's already beginning. It's coming. But it's coming like a storm. It's escalating in power and fury. And I don't know how you folks feel, but I want to be one of the faithful few that make it. I want to believe what God says in His Word and stand on it. I'm not going to go the way the world's going. I don't want what the world wants. I want heaven. And heaven is my goal. Heaven is my desire. And it's always been. And that's why I love the great controversy. That's why I like going out with it and sharing it. Because you can actually, when you canvas a great controversy, you can take them on a journey with you. You can go into the most holy of holies with them. You can lead them to the Sabbath. And you can help them make it home one day. And when you see these families, this person standing on the sea of glass with you, and you meet him again face to face, inspiration tells us those people will come to you and hug you and tell you it's because of you. It's because what you shared. We're here today. And they just embrace each other. And it says that Jesus is looking down and he smiles because you were the tool that was willing to be used. I had a family just recently. They bought the Great Controversy. We talked and shared. And they were so open. It's just unreal. And they thanked me. They said, thank you. Thank you for showing us the way. Are we showing the people around us the way? Or are we just passing them by every day? Are we helping each other to make it home one day? Or don't we care about one another? If our life is falling apart, are we there? Do we have the Spirit of God in us? And is it real? There's a statement of inspiration. It says that millions of people are being pulled into the supernatural, young and old alike. Millions of people across the land. You meet witches, you meet psychics, warlocks, paganism. Everything you can think of is exploding. Almost everybody's getting into it. They're getting into it because of curiosity. They're getting into it because they're disenchanted with religion. Religion turns people off. I have people tell me that every day. I don't want religion. We know too many people, if that's what religion is, we don't want it. So they're turned to the supernatural. But they don't realize where that supernatural is taking them. And I don't know if you guys, a lot of the older folks might remember this. Remember there was a study on demonology in this country probably 40 years ago? I don't know if any of you remember that or not. But up north, it was real heavy. A lot of the churches were studying. The ministers wanted the congregation to know where demons are coming from and what demons are all about. And it got to a point that people were actually having demons appearing in their homes. And so they stopped the study across that part of the country because it was taking them off in a wrong direction. I'll be done here in just a few. And I think the last thing I want to share with you guys, most of the families that I've been talking with through the years that have a ghost in their house, their background is Catholicism. It's Catholicism. Now that is amazing. It's Catholicism. I wish every one of you could have some of the experience that I've had just going door to door. And I'm going to tell you, you know, even little kids, I got to share this last story. I was in a home talking with some grandparents, and we were talking for quite a while, and all of a sudden the back door opened. Two little girls came in into the kitchen, and they had an old wooden board, and they put it on the table, and they were out there playing with it. So I was through talking with the grandparents, and I wanted to see what the girls had, and I went over there, and they had an old wooden Ouija board. An old wooden Ouija board. If you guys know if anybody's got one, tell them where it comes from. Tell them how it started, who's the originator of it, who controls it. These two girls, I asked them, I said, what are you guys doing with a Ouija board? And they said, it belonged to our great-grandparents. And I said, do you guys know what it is? And they said, yeah, it's just a game. I said, are you sure? And he said, yes. And I said, I'll tell you what. Ask that Ouija board two questions if you think it's just a game. And they said, okay, what are they? And I said, the first one, ask the Ouija board who controls it. And with that, I was in the living room ready to go out the door. And the littlest girl, when they were, probably 5 minutes went by, and the littlest girl come running out into the living room, and she came up to me, she says, we asked it. I said, you did? I said, what did the Ouija board say to you? The Ouija board said spirits. You can actually tell people, they can command it, command the Ouija board to tell who controls it, and it'll actually say the devil. And that was enough to shake that girl, the littlest one. And then the other girl of mine came in. She said, "You had another question, didn't you?" I said, "If you want to." And she said, "Yes, I do. Ask the Ouija board if it loves Jesus Christ." So they went back into the kitchen. I was on the steps to go down to the next house. And then all of a sudden they come running to the door and they said, wait, we asked it that question. And I said, "You did." And I said, "What did it spell?" And they said, "It spelled out no." And I pray that those girls never touch that board again. You would have seen how scared they were. And there's so many stories. I was telling Rose I had so much to share, but I can't because it's just, there's so much. But I was trying to cut it right down to where I wanted to go. But I want to read one last thought and I close. You got to hear this one. And it comes from the Great Controversy. And it's a chapter on, can our dead speak to us? And the Lord impressed me to share this with you. Satan has power to bring before men and women the appearance of their departed friends. The counterfeit is perfect. The familiar look, the words, the tone are reproduced with marvelous distinctness. Many are comforted with the assurance that their loved ones are enjoying the bliss of heaven. And without suspicion of danger, they give ear to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. If people could have their eyes open and see who it is in their home and who's behind it, they would run. They would run with fear. So all I can say, you know, I can share it with you, but I hope and pray that you realize more than ever before, it is the end. The end of the ages is already here. The Pope has given us 1 year to come back to the Mother Church. 1 year. And you know what is amazing, and I gotta tell you this. And Brian, you can tell me when to quit and I'll quit. The Pope is a Jesuit and he belongs to the Ninth Order of the Satanic Cult. And the Ninth Order of the Satanic Cult is sacrificing children. And he's going to be brought up on charges before the World Court with some other leaders in the Catholic Church. And I'm going to tell you, if you go into Revelation 18, 1, 2, 3, and 4, where it says Babylon has fallen, and it's become a habitation of devils, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, and a fold of every foul spirit, do you know what those represent? Those represent churches. They represent churches. And the Mother Church is the Catholic Church. The state of the dead, when you die, where do you go? If you go to heaven, whatever. That came out of pagan Rome. Hell came out of pagan Rome. Everything that's being taught its heir came out of Rome. And now Rome wants everybody to come back home. He wants you to join the Catholic Church. But you have a year to come back. And if you don't, there's going to be consequences you have to pay. So brothers and sisters, as I close with you today, I hope that whatever I shared made sense, some of it. And I pray that we open our hearts and let Jesus become real in here. And let's help each other make it through. We need each other. We need each other. Because the storm is going to hit. And when it hits, when 2016 hits, watch what comes along with 2016. And with that, I want to close with prayer. Okay. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love and your mercies and your compassion and tenderness. Thank you for not giving up on us. We are so unworthy of your love and your mercies. But you still try to win us. You're trying to draw us into the fold of safety before the coming storm. And I pray, dear Lord, that what was shared today, that they will take it to heart, that they will read the great controversy cover to cover and read it over and over again, so that they can be taken on this journey too that will lead them into the kingdom one day. Jesus, I pray that you will become our best friend in this old world, because you will carry us through until at last it's over. We love you and we thank you for being with us here this Sabbath day. In your name I pray. Amen.